Good morning. Last week, Dale introduced us to the church plant at Philippi by way of indicating that we are going to work through the book of Philippians. So this morning, we are going to continue. We'll get into the text in Philippians. And this morning, we are going to look at Philippians 1, verses 1 and 2. Hear then God's word. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace and your peace in our lives. We pray as we begin to work our way through Philippians that you would go before us, open our hearts, open our ears, that we may hear and understand and be doers of your word. I pray that what I say would honor and glorify you and edify the body of Christ, for we ask it in his name. Amen. So, what do we get out of two verses at the beginning of a letter? That's what we're going to talk about today. Why did Paul write to the Philippians? Well, as you work your way through the book, it's apparent that he wrote to them to encourage them. As we learned from Dale last week, the church plant was in a tough town. There weren't a lot of Jews there to proclaim the God of the Old Testament. There weren't a lot of people that knew the gospel that Paul brought to them. That's why God sent him. And so they were living in the midst of a culture that lived a completely different life. It was a tough living. So why did Paul write? I believe that he wrote to challenge, but I believe primarily, as you read through the book, you read through this letter that he wrote to encourage the church at Philippi. It's a common theme as you read different commentators that the purpose for Philippians was to encourage, was to help people to live in the joy that we should experience as Christians being in Christ. In fact, one of the commentaries I have on my shelf by a pastor, theologian, it's written in a pastoral fashion. He titled it, Laugh Again. In the midst of life, in the midst of circumstance, we are to be able to experience the joy of our Lord. That's why Paul wrote Philippians. As we look at this, and as we go through the book, that's going to be the undergirding theme. Joy in our lives. Does that mean that nothing tough's ever going to happen? No. Paul was the same Paul who was whipped and chained in prison, and later is writing to them saying, be encouraged. Enjoy your life in Christ, because that is our calling also, in spite of the circumstance that we live in. So, what's in a greeting? Well, it's interesting. Even today, I work in the construction industry. Last year, a couple of the men from the office went to a business-oriented seminar related to the industry, and they had a guy in who said to them, what's in a greeting? In fact, he had taken the time before meeting with them to make a phone call to several businesses who were exactly the same across the province doing the same thing and said, you know, they answer the phone and it sounds like they're having the grumpiest day ever. How's that doing for business? And the challenge they came away with was answer the phone cheerfully. Give people the idea that you're as interested in them as an individual as they may be in doing business with you. So if you call our office, as some of our regular customers do, they give us a hard time because they hear the same thing all the time. But we try to do it with a cheerful voice and let them know, thanks for calling. So what's in a greeting? What's Paul up to? Well, I want to break it down in three ways. There's always different ways you can go with this. You know, some people will talk about slaves and saints and salutations, and that is part of it. I'll just break it down simply. Greeters, the greeted, and the greeting. And all of this has to do with our life in Christ. It has to do with our attitude. Another thing that came to mind as I'm reading this letter is the whole letter writing thing. We've come to a modern age of, I don't know, closing in on the possibility of losing this whole aspect of our lives. There's Facebook, which keeps it short, keeps it, I don't know, sometimes impersonal, and sometimes you wish maybe more impersonal. If that's not short enough for you, there's tweeting. I don't know, when tweeting comes to mind, I still think of Bugs Bunny and Tweety Pie. But we're saying something, right? There's a language involved in those things. There's a language involved in this greeting. You know, people on Facebook, if you're not accustomed to the language, one example, LOL. Well, for many of us, that meant for years and years, lots of love. Well, when you respond that way on Facebook, people snicker because that's not what it means anymore. Right? Laugh out loud. And they do, because we misunderstood their little acronym. The way that we present ourselves has significance, has meaning. The way that Paul presents himself, presents Timothy, presents the saints at Philippi, and our standing in Christ has significance. Paul and Timothy, who are they? What were they? You know, when we greet one another, when we're meeting somebody, often the first question out of our mouth is, so what do you do? What would Paul's answer be? I serve God. Paul and Timothy, bond servants. Now, even in our day and age, when we think of a servant, we don't exactly think of the people that are highest up on the totem pole, do we? They're the people that get paid to do the menial work that the rest of society don't want to do. Well, the newsflash is that Paul and Timothy, because they're doing this together, they're working together, they're in agreement on this, are saying even more than that. We're not just willing to get paid to do those kinds of work. We are willing to call ourselves slaves of Christ Jesus. Slaves in that culture were owned. Now, some of them did very well, but still, you were somebody else's property. You weren't your own. You did somebody else's bidding. You didn't plan your day. They planned your day. Dale mentioned in the reading of this plant of the church in Philippi that Paul wanted to go in a direction. The Holy Spirit came and said, no, you're not. I want to go in this direction. No, you can go into Macedonia. They were there at the Lord's bidding. They were there to do God's will. It's a mindset. It's an attitude. And at the outset of the book, Paul is saying, I am willing to be an imitator of Christ. And he goes on to explain that later. We will get into that more fully as we get into Philippians. At one point, he explains what Christ was willing to do. He was willing to be a slave to save us. And Paul is saying, I am willing to be a slave for Christ to do whatever it is that He has called me to do. And at one point it was to come to you in Philippi to begin the work there. So it's a mindset. How do we view ourselves? When we interact with one another, when we interact with other people, even when we're meeting them the first time, how do we view ourselves? Do we view ourselves as servants? Do we view ourselves as slaves? Saying, I am here at God's bidding, and I am willing to do God's will to edify you, to glorify God, to build up the kingdom of God. Yes, we are taught that we are sons of God. But if Christ was willing to be a slave, and Paul, basing his life on Christ's example, is saying, I am willing also, then we need to ask ourselves, are we ready to follow the example that is set before us? Are we ready to walk in those same shoes? When I approach people, do I approach them with the attitude that I'm one notch up? If Paul had approached the people in Philippi with that attitude, would a church have been planted? Would the jailer have responded to the word of God? He was willing to do what it took to be whipped and put in chains in order to serve, in order to bring the gospel, in order to get the message across. That includes all of us. Not just church leaders, but yeah, that includes church leaders as well. It's to everybody. How do we view ourselves? When we greet someone, no matter if the greeting is in a letter, how do we present ourselves in a letter? Do we challenge? But do we challenge in such a way that is demeaning? Or do we challenge in a way that would say, look, I'm here to serve. I have a message. Some of it's hard. But part of that hard message also is to be encouraged in the joy of the Lord. If we live our lives that way, people are going to be more willing to receive the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whether that's among one another, whether that's meeting new brothers and sisters in the Lord, or whether that's reaching out into a community that desperately needs to hear that there was one who was willing to step out of glory to be a slave and die so they could be saved. Am I willing to live my life like that? That's the greeter. It says a lot about how I want to approach people. But the greeted, or the greetee, if you will, Paul has something to say about that as well. Paul isn't writing to people that were in a perfect state of sinlessness. He was writing to real people living in a real city that had all kinds of problems and issues that were rampant, that affected the way that people lived their lives. He's writing to the church that was on the ground, to every member, as well as the leadership. And what does he call them? Saints. He calls them saints. He doesn't demean them. You guys need to listen to me because I am the apostle and you guys are the little peons that serve and slave away, and you need to hear what I have to say because it's really important. That's not the approach he takes. He calls himself the slave and he calls them the saints. What's a saint? I think we need to define it biblically because we live in a culture, and even sometimes we use the terminology ourselves. We're referring to someone who's done something really nice. You know, oh, he's just such a saint. Meaning that, you know, he's lived a decent life. That's not biblical terminology. We are a saint not because of what we have done, but because of what Christ has done. We are a saint because we are found in Christ Jesus. And that's significant. When people talk about being in Christ, it shows, which is something that shows up again and again in Paul's writing. It's similar to something that we heard if, when we're reading the Old Testament. It talks about being in David. What did that mean? And how does that reflect on what Paul is saying? He's saying, in being in David was that they had a bond with David. That David was their king and he was their representative. You remember, and we've talked about this before, that the king summed up the people as the representative. He acted in their place. And therefore they were united to him in that respect. The church at Philippi, Paul says, were saints in Christ Jesus. And as we learn from the incident with the jailer and his household, they were baptized into Christ. They were part of the royal family now. Their baptism was a sign that they were united to Christ, that they were part of his family. Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus, the great King of Israel. They too now were part of God's true Israel. God's holy people represented in the world. That's how we ought to view the church. That's how we ought to view other Christians. That's significant. When I approach someone, whether it is to say thanks for the help or whether it is to talk about a difficulty between us, I need to understand that I am approaching someone who is in Christ, in relationship. I need to treat them with that sort of respect. That should affect the way that we live our lives. That we interact with our families even. That we interact with our children. Yes, they need correction and they need nurture in the Lord. They need nurture in the Lord. They don't need to be demeaned. They need to be brought up to understand their position in Christ. Living in Christ. Living in Christ. Where do you live? Here. Who is Paul writing to? The church at Philippi. It's not something that's out there. That, you know, it's just the church. It's me and Jesus and the church. No. It's the church where we're at. We live, we eat, we do our business in this area, in Grand Prairie and surrounding area. We represent Christ's church, along with other churches in the area. We represent Christ's church here in Grand Prairie. The way that I buy groceries, the way that I cut people off or don't cut people off in traffic, the way that I'm patient in the grocery line or at the gas station, the way that I do business, the way that I discipline my children, the way that I love my wife, is living before the watching world. Do we treat one another as saints in Christ Jesus? That's what Paul is talking about. Our worldview should affect every part of our lives. The things we say, the things we do, how we interpret the world around us, how we relate to the world around us, how we deal with what we view as unbiblical and unlawful legislation. Are we perceived in any way, shape, or form as different than the rest of the world around us? The caution is to not embrace just enough of the culture so that people don't know I'm a Christian. And when we begin to live our lives like that, even though we're living our lives in love and respecting our neighbor, occasionally there are going to be bumps in the road, and occasionally there are going to be craters in the road. Because sooner or later, somebody's going to say, I disagree with you and I'm willing to do something about it that is not very godly. The question then we need to ask ourselves as those who are called to be saints and the call to live in Grand Prairie, Alberta, Canada, is when the time comes, am I willing to bear the stripes and the chains in order to say, God loves you? And He too has suffered so that you could become a saint. We proclaim our allegiance all the time by calling ourselves Christians, by saying that we are the saints of the living God. It's a declaration of our separation unto God, away from those things that are not godly, away from world views that detract from a godly way of life. And we have a lot of talk about tolerance in our society. But usually, it's in terms of, you guys aren't tolerant because you have a system of belief. Well, the truth of the matter is, everyone who claims that someone else is intolerant in the statement just became intolerant themselves. And yes, there is an aspect that we need to be tolerant. We need to learn how to live in the society around us with the attitudes of servanthood, understanding that we are separated apart to God so that they see there's a difference in our lives, but not to give in to things that are ungodly. There's the tolerance. I will live in this society and I'll be steadfast in the ways of the Lord. That's the way that we need to live our lives as those that are greeted. And we are those that are greeted weekly as a body. This is one of the reasons why we've incorporated greeting in our service. Because it's a biblical example that we want to follow. We greet one another in the name of our God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul does here. He greets those that he sees as the saints in the Lord, and he focuses their attention on Christ. And Paul goes on later to talk about peace, to talk about grace. What does that look like in our lives? This is not new material, but it's good to remind ourselves. We experience the grace of God all the time in many ways. The world experiences the grace of God, just that it is still here and kicking. That's a general understanding of God's grace, right? But as God's people, we experience His grace in far greater ways, because He has saved us from the sin that we so rightfully deserve to be punished. And He did it at His own cost. Paul, the slave, following the example of Christ, who acted as the slave, so that we could experience His grace. Resting on our lives. He has blessed us in many, many ways with His grace and also with His peace. And we'll get more into that later, but just the peace of God resting on our lives is part of what Paul is writing about so that we can enjoy living in Christ, no matter if we are called to be in stripes, or no matter if we are called to be in plenty. Paul's message, as it's unfolded in Philippians, is learn to live above the circumstance so that you can enjoy. I think that means that we can have fun with our Christian life. Hence this book that I have on my shelf. And I've read it to my family, and I'll read it again to my family. Laugh again. Have fun with the journey that God has put you on. In spite of the circumstance, sometimes because of the circumstance. But have fun. Enjoy. But even when it's not a laughing matter, the message remains the same. The joy in the Lord should be the deep fountain that we live our lives in so that we're not affected by the ripples on the surface. We are settled in the deep pool of God's grace and God's peace. How do we do that? In the strength of the Lord, which again is going to be something we're going to elaborate on later. We do that by living as Paul indicates, even in this greeting, which sets the tone for the whole message of the letter. Live your lives as slaves of the Most High God, as slaves to the one who chose to be a slave so that you could be redeemed. View others in light of their salvation. In light of the fact that Christ was willing to die for them. That should really affect the way that we view one another, the way that we view people around us. The God that we claim to worship sent the Son to die for those people that sometimes we look down on, that we don't have the time for, or the only thought in our head is, what a dirty, lousy scoundrel that person is. Paul's saying, think differently. Christ is saying, think differently. Because the same greeting that I pass on to you, I want you to pass on to others. And that is the grace and the peace of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.